show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. I'm, for some reason, in a particularly good mood today. Yes, I am. Especially Elo, just Elo in the chat room, just put up the official insignia of my beloved Ohio State Buckeyes on the chat room. Oh, yeah. That gets me going. Not that I don't have a few things in here. I've got my little bobblehead doll of Woody Hayes. I've got my OSU flag. I've got quite a bit of OSU memorabilia sitting here. In my office, I have one whole wall filled. And, well, love my Buckeyes, and I don't have to tell you that. Those of you that are college football fans, even if you're not, you know I am always bragging about the Buckeyes. I don't know if they're the best team in the nation right now or not, but they are number one, baby. And I'm awfully proud of my university, as are most of the folks in Ohio. So, Elo, thank you for putting that up there. I appreciate it very, very much. Welcome to everybody listening today. Let me turn this sound down just a little bit there. That's a little bit better. Get that echo out of here. Like to say hello to everybody over at iTunes and Democratic Underground and Smirking Chimp and WD-40 and all those folks. And I also would like to say hello to some of my good friends in good old Upper Sandusky, Ohio. So we have lots of people listening all over the Buckeye State, all around the Midwest, all around the South, the North, East, West, and even across the water. So welcome to everybody, and we're so happy to have you along with us this afternoon, on this Thursday afternoon. We have a lot to talk about. Where was I? And, of course, we are coming to you from the Blue Waters and Sandy Beaches of beautiful Naples, Fort Myers, Florida area. And it's kind of an unusual day here today. I think we're getting a bit of the outskirts of that storm off the East Coast. We're getting a little bit of rainy weather, a little breezy today and all that. Our high temperature is not very high at all. It's about, what, maybe 84 today at the most, and that's unusual. But we're about to get into the fall weather here. The palm trees change color. No, they really don't. I'm kidding. We don't have fall colors here. We have the same colors all year round. I was in Arizona over the weekend, and I was surprised. It seems so very brown. I mean, I love the mountains and all that, but everything's brown. I was in big housing developments, and every single house was brown. I don't know. I suppose there are rules about that. I'd probably build a blue one right in the middle of all that just to shake up the neighborhood. But, of course, I'd get thrown out, you know. A lot to talk about today. I hear out in the lobby, I hear the official Guy James Show Yorkie puppies out there making a racket. The mailman must be dropping by, or UPS, or FedEx, or DHL. One of those people are stopping by, and puppies always like to change them off. The infamous Kukla and Sophie. And isn't it funny the way doggies are? They'll bark and bark and bark, and the mailman will leave the mail and then drive out the driveway, and, you know, the puppies are satisfied that they chased them away once again. They've protected the homeland one more time, doing their job out there. Ah, yes. I suppose, I hope you can't hear that in the background. They're making quite a little bit of noise out there outside the lobby. A lot to talk about today, and I hope you'll join us. After all, this is a talk show, and we want to hear some talk from you. 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. And if you have an unlimited calling plan and want to call in your nickel, 941-876-6896. And the phone lines are open, and we'd be glad to talk to you. We've got this McCasey nomination coming up. And if it doesn't get out of the committee, it won't go to the floor. And the guy to watch on this whole thing, and I'm sure a lot of you know this already, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but the guy to watch is Chuck Schumer. You know, he's the one that brought the name to Junior as a possibility. And I'm sure Schumer is somewhat chagrined right now, some of the answers McCasey has given the panel. And Schumer, oddly enough, is missing from the press. You know, Chuck Schumer's usually one of the first ones to jump in front of a camera. He never saw a microphone or a camera that he didn't just absolutely love. And he's been oddly absent from all that lately. And so, by the way, if you live in New York, give him a call. Give him a call and let him know how you feel about this McCasey nomination. 202-224-6542. That's 202-224-6542. And you know, you hear the politicians, and you heard me rant yesterday about politicians and how I'm just sick of it, what goes on inside the Beltway, how they get out and have their little spats in front of the public and behind, you know, just like a bunch of lawyers behind closed doors when the courtroom thing is over with, they go have a drink together and, they talk about the poisonous attitude in Washington. I'm not so sure it's as poisonous as they would let you on amongst one another there. I've seen them visiting with one another, commiserating with one another. That doesn't look too poisonous to me. They really don't. I don't know if McCasey's going to make it. By the way, before I go any farther, I saw something just a while ago. Somebody sent me this, and I want you to check it out if you can. A video that you just have to see, and probably everybody in the world saw it but me up until about a half hour ago, but I want to give you the website. It's balloon, balloon-juice.com, /?P, small p, the equal sign, 8970. Take a look at that video. I think you'll like it. I think it'll give you some great insight as to why we've had so much trouble training the Iraqi army so far. It's a beauty, and I guess it's not a put-up. It's a real thing. So check it out. Again, that's balloon-juice.com /?P, the equal sign, and then 8970. See if that leads you to that funny, double funny video. I did want to talk today about this McCasey situation that's been, you know, the guy has been nominated for the Attorney General, to be the Attorney General of the United States. And first, I think before we look at McCasey himself, who may be a decent individual, I don't know him. It's hard for me to say what his morals are, but then again, with some of the answers that he's given, I have to wonder. But stop and take a look at what Junior Bush, look how he has just ruined the reputation of the Office of Attorney General, the Justice Department. Just look at what he has done, Junior Bush. You know, he picks John Ashcroft. And Ashcroft was a puppet. He helped put through some restrictions of our civil liberties through Congress after the 9/11 attack. He was all for that. And Ashcroft and the White House later disagreed on a few things, and so you know, they kind of pushed him to endorse the illegal wiretapping. And then along came the infamous Alberto Gonzalez, who I believe needs a pair of handcuffs on him. I believe the man definitely committed perjury in front of the Congress. There is no question. But again, the gutless Congress are not going to do anything about Gonzalez's perjury because of this little kissy face thing they all do to one another inside the Beltway. But Gonzalez is a man who should have been led out of the Justice Department in handcuffs or led out of the hearings in handcuffs. Definitely deserves to be prosecuted. I there's no question of that. But he's back in Texas now with a fat job. You knew he would. But Bush brings him on. He's a longtime crony of Bush. Here's a guy that had no limits to what he would do. I believe Alberto Gonzalez to be one of the most immoral people that I have ever... You know, they talk about immorality. People involved in pornography and all sorts of sinning and so forth. How could you be any more immoral than Alberto Gonzalez, consorting with these people in the White House to redefine torture, to repudiate the Geneva Conventions? You know, we've got these illegal detention camps. Gonzalez was instrumental in covering up this administration's totally lawless behavior and some of their anti-terrorist operations. He's worked to do away with what I consider to be fundamental human rights for foreigners, and he really, really and truly worked very, very hard to turn the Justice Department into just another wing of the RNC. That's what Gonzalez did, and so he resigned after in my opinion, his criminality was exposed, after his extraordinary incompetence was exposed. Even the Republicans couldn't handle him anymore. And so now Bush brings on Mukasey and wants us to accept this man as Attorney General of the United States. We've had two complete losers as Attorney Generals of the United States. We've had two lackeys that were willing to go along with just about anything George Bush wanted them to do. We've had Attaboy Brownie, great job. We've had one schmo after another in some high positions. We've had Donald Rumsfeld resigned in disgrace. We've had a couple of Secretaries of the Treasury resign. We've had Karl Rove resign. We've had Karen Hughes, and we'll talk about that a little later, the 7-foot white woman from Texas. We've had her resign again. The whole cabal of Bushes is like rats from a granary running out into... They're getting away. And I just wanted to mention a few things about this Attorney Generalship, this nominee. The New York Times today, and let me quote the New York Times today, in adamantly refusing to declare waterboarding illegal, Michael B. Mukasey, the nominee for Attorney General, is steering clear of a potential legal quagmire for the Bush administration. Criminal prosecution or lawsuits against Central Intelligence Agency officers who used the harsh interrogation practice and those who authorized it, legal experts said Wednesday. So there. Here we are. We get to the crux of the matter. And I hope the Congress of the United States and the public can grasp what is happening here. Everybody knows Mukasey has been purposely evading the truth about waterboarding. I think everybody, any rational person who's watched these hearings knows that. Think about it. Here we have a guy in his position who has ruled on terrorism cases, and he doesn't know if waterboarding is torture or not. He's been covering for Bush and for Cheney and the rest of that gang. I think there's little question about that. We've got Junior Bush's nominee for Attorney General. And here's a guy ahead of the legal system in this country, once again, who can't truthfully testify before Congress, because if he does, Junior Bush himself might be prosecuted. The Vice President of the United States might be prosecuted. Alberto Gonzalez might be prosecuted, and a host of others. That's it in a nutshell, and it's time that everybody recognize it. And you thought Dix Nixon was a lying, devious son of a bitch. He was Mother Teresa compared to Junior Bush and Dick Cheney. Understand that. Dick Nixon was he was completely a babe in the woods compared to Junior Bush and Dick Cheney. Nixon was a lot of things. Oh, he was a lot of things. He was a very indecent human being. But he never sank so low as to suggest that we torture anyone. I know you will remember, those who listen regularly to this program, that months ago I said on this program that no nominee of Junior Bush's should even be considered for confirmation for this very reason. No nominee for any position from here on out during Bush's administration should even be considered for confirmation. Any Democrat that votes for any nominee of George Bush's is voting against the interest of the people of the United States. This is a massive cover-your-ass program, and Congress knows it. Don't think they don't. McCasey, in his own words, says waterboarding is repugnant, but he doesn't know if it's illegal. Repugnant. Well, I've got a great idea. Let's just waterboard Mr. Smartass McCasey, and then let's ask him again if he thinks it's torture, if it should be illegal. I'll hold his head down while someone else pours the water onto the towel and half drowns the guy. Then we'll shove a microphone in his face and say, McCasey, old boy, what do you think? Should this be illegal? Is this illegal? Should this be something we do to people? And don't forget, McCasey, if we do it, this is the important part of all this that people just don't understand. If we do it, this country of ours, who's had a been a beacon of light and goodness and decency to the rest of the world for how long? This place that everybody wanted to come to because we were looked upon as a good and decent nation. If we do this, that means we think it's okay for others to do it to our people. That's exactly what it means. It means nothing else. If we waterboard and torture people, that's given the okay for others to do the same thing to our troops. So what do you think? Let's hear from somebody who has done it. Let's hear from somebody who's experienced waterboarding. Gentleman by the name of Malcolm W. Nance. He's a counterterrorism and terrorism intelligence consultant for the U.S. government's Special Operations, Homeland Security, and intelligence agencies. He's a 20-year veteran of the U.S. intelligence community's combating terrorism program and a 6-year veteran of the global war on terrorism. He has extensive field and combat experience as a field intelligence collections operator, an Arabic-speaking interrogator, and a master survival, evasion resistance, and escape instructor, an SERE. Let me read you a quote from him. We, and this is an exact quote from Malcolm Nance, who has all the qualifications I just mentioned, and I quote, "We as a nation are having a crisis of honor." Last week, the Attorney General nominee, Judge Michael McCasey, refused to define waterboarding terror suspects as torture. On the same day, MSNBC television pundit and former Republican Congressman Joe Scarborough quickly spoke out in favor. On his morning television broadcast, he asserted, without any basis in fact, that the efficacy of the water board a viable tool to be used on Al-Qaeda suspects. Scarborough said, quote, for those who don't know, waterboarding is what we did to Sheikh Mohammed, who is the Al-Qaeda number two guy that planned 9/11, and he talked, end quote. And then he speculated that, quote, if you ask Americans whether they think it's okay for to waterboard in a controlled environment, 90% of the Americans will say yes, says Scarborough. Sensing that what he was saying sounded a bit extreme, Scarborough then claimed he did not support torture, but that waterboarding was debatable as a technique. And Scarborough said, you know, that's the debate. Is waterboarding torture? I don't want the United States to engage in the type of torture that Senator John McCain had to endure, end quote. That's Joe Scarborough speaking. In fact, going on here, Malcolm Nance, the terrorism expert, says waterboarding is just the type of torture then Lieutenant Commander John McCain had to endure at the hands of the North Vietnamese. As a former master instructor and chief of training at the U.S. Navy Survival Evasion Resistance and Escape School in San Diego, California, I know the waterboard personally and intimately. The SERE staff were required to undergo the waterboard at its fullest. I was no exception. I have personally led, witnessed, and supervised waterboarding of hundreds of people. It has been reported that both the Army and Navy SERE schools interrogation manuals were used to form the interrogation techniques used by the U.S. Army and the CIA for its terror suspect. What was not mentioned in most articles was that SERE was designed to show how an evil totalitarian enemy would use torture at the slightest whim. If that is the case, then waterboarding is unquestionably being used as a torture technique. The carnival-like he said, she said of the legality of enhanced interrogation technique has become a form of doublespeak worthy of Catch-22. Having been subjected to them all, I know these techniques, and if in fact they are actually being used, are not dangerous when applied in training for short periods. However, when performed with even moderate intensity over an extended time on an unsuspecting prisoner, it is torture without doubt. Couple that with the waterboarding and the entire medley not only shock the conscience, as the statute forbids, it would terrify you. Most people cannot stand to watch a high-intensity kinetic interrogation. One has to overcome basic human decency. Let me repeat that. One has to overcome basic human decency to endure watching or causing the effects. The brutality would force you into a personal moral dilemma between humanity and hatred. It would leave you to question the meaning of what it is to be an American. Let me repeat that. It would leave you to question the meaning of what it is to be an American, end quote. There is no debate here for torture apologists. Waterboarding is a torture technique, period. There's no way to gloss over it. There's no way to sugarcoat it. It has no justification outside of its limited role as a training demonstrator, as I just suggested. Our service members have to learn that the will to survive requires them to accept and understand that they might be subjected to torture, but that America is better than its enemies. And it is one's duty to trust in your nation and God and endure the hardships and return home with honor. With honor. Waterboarding is not simulation. unless you've been strapped down to the board and have endured the agonizing feeling of the water overpowering your gag reflex, and then feel your throat open and allow pint after pint of water to involuntarily fill your lungs, you will not know the meaning of the word. Waterboarding is a controlled drowning that in the American model occurs under the watch of a doctor, a psychologist, an interrogator, and a trained strap-in, strap-out team. It does not simulate drowning as the lungs are actually filling with water. There is no way to simulate that. The victim is drowning. How much the victim is to drown depends on the desired result. And that is in the form of answers to questions shouted into the victim's face and the obstinacy of the subject. A team doctor watches the quantity of water that's ingested and for the psychological signs which show when the drowning effect goes from painful psychological experience to horrific suffocating punishment to the final death spiral. Waterboarding is slow motion suffocation with enough time to contemplate the inevitability of blackout and expiration. Usually the person goes into hysterics on the board. For the uninitiated, it is horrifying to watch, and if it goes wrong, it can lead straight to terminal hypoxia, and when done right, it is controlled death. Its lack of physical scarring allows the victim to recover and be threatened with its use again and again. You can call it Chinese water torture, the barrel, or the waterfall, it's all the same. Whether the victim is allowed to comply or not is usually left up to the interrogator. Many waterboard team members, even in training, enjoy the sadistic power of making the victim suffer and often ask questions as an afterthought. These people are dangerous and predictable. And when left unshackled, unsupervised, or undetected, they bring us the murderous abuses seen at Abu Ghraib, Bagram, and Guantanamo. No doubt to avoid human factors like fear and guilt, someone has created a one-button version that probably looks like an MRI machine with high-intensity water jets. If you support the use of waterboarding on enemy captives, you support the use of that torture on any future American captives. The Small Wars Council had a spirited discussion about this earlier in the year, especially when former Marine Generals Krulak and Hoare rejected all arguments for torture. It is wrong. It is un-American. It is unhuman. Inhuman. And it's against everything this nation stands for. And if you don't recognize that fact, you are not worthy of calling yourself an American. I'd like to think we're a nation of decent people. But those who approve of this process cannot be called decent. There is nothing more. This whole thing. Is nothing more than another attempt by Junior Bush to protect himself and the rest of his unholy mob from possible prosecution at a later date. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's another attempt at a massive expansion of an executive power, power like no presidency has ever had or ever asked for. The only way to beat these people is to get them on the ground and start stomping them with everything that you have in your arsenal politically. You've got to unload both barrels, the gloves off, bare knuckles, every metaphor like that that you can think of, because they will not surrender. They have to be thoroughly and completely beaten and destroyed as a political force in this country. Until they are, we are in trouble. And the Democrats have made no serious effort to do so, and we have to force their hands and demand that they not confirm this Bush tool as another puppet attorney general like the past two that we have had. We all need to contact our senators and demand that this man not be confirmed. Do I have a lot of hope for that? No. I don't think I do. Oh, they get in front of the cameras and they moan and they whine. And they talk about this. But do they do anything about it? I mean, just the other day, we have Chris Dodd. I like Chris Dodd, as I've mentioned before. We have Chris Dodd saying about how he's against the confirmation of this man. But when asked if he would put a hold on this, and you know any senator can put a hold on a nomination, and it's been something that's been honored in the past most of the time. When asked if he would put a senatorial hold on it, he said no. You talk about political doublespeak. On one side of the mouth, he's saying, well, you know, I'm really against this. On the other side, will you do your utmost to stop it? No, I won't. Isn't that indicative of most of the politicians in Washington, D.C.? Just like we saw demonstrated the other night in the demonstration, or in the debate, it's so easy for them to say one thing one moment and another thing in the next. Anything to be politically expedient. I expect the Democrats to fight this nomination tooth and nail. I expect them to do their utmost. I expect Harry Reid to lead a charge against this nomination or any nomination put forth. I don't care if they cripple this administration. I'm to that point. It's an administration that needs to be politically crippled. Do not confirm another appointee of this evil administration. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We're going to pause for a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
I frame the question in these stark terms.
Are we going to continue to invest American blood and treasure at the same rate we are doing now? For what?
If we continue what you have laid before the Congress here as a strategy, do you feel that is making America safer?
Sir, I don't know, actually.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Thanks for lending an ear.
Yes, indeed. We're all walking. Because walking is good medicine for your heart. The American Heart Association says for every hour of regular vigorous exercise we do, like very brisk walking, we could live 2 hours longer. So start walking. Imagine if we walk to the moon and back, we could live forever. Start walking for life. Take your mother. Take your brother. Take your heart for a walk. Join the START movement at AmericanHeart.org/START for tools, tips, and more.
Everybody now. I'm walking.
Yes, indeed, and I'm a-talking. You'll feel better, and you could live longer. You come back to me.
Welcome back to the Guy James Show. 24 and a half minutes before the hour. Thank you for joining us here today, and you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. And if you've got an unlimited calling plan, 941-876-6896. Love to have you join us. Just to finish up on this Attorney General scam that the Bush administration is trying to pull off by putting another one of their puppets in that'll do anything they ask to put in another man who will sink to any depths that he might be asked to sink to protect any illegalities that this White House might want to do, to protect any illegalities that the military might do, to protect any political folks in Washington, D.C. that might be guilty of actual crimes. They want another attorney general that will do that. Of course, they had one that would, Alberto Gonzalez. There is no question of his blind obedience to this president. There is no question that he put the president above the law and the president's wishes and Cheney's wishes above the law. That he regarded George Bush as a king. And I would submit to you that George Bush is not a king. The law is king. The Constitution is king. And we must have an attorney general that will absolutely make those two inviolate, that will stick to the law and the Constitution no matter what. No matter what the White House says, no matter what the White House requests, he must stick to the law, the Constitution of the United States, and they must both of those be sacred. To hell what the president asks for. If it's not legal, it doesn't fly. Period. There should not be another Alberto Gonzalez in the White House ever. A man that was willing to turn his back called the Constitution of the United States a quaint document? A quaint document? An American? Listen, I was in Washington not too long ago. I went in the National Archives again. So I've done many times. And there's always something wonderful and magical and sacred about standing there reading the Bill of Rights and the Constitution of the United States. And we have an Attorney General of the United States that said it was a quaint document? I don't think so. And we've got to do what we can to avoid that happening again. I so respect Senator Whitehouse and what he said today. Senator Whitehouse, Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island. He's a former federal prosecutor, and in my opinion, he's a great guy, by the way, personally, just a terrific guy, great conversationalist, and just as common as the day is long. He was elected in 2006, and he was asked a question, and he asked the question on the Senate floor yesterday, "Whence cometh our strength as a nation?" He was so eloquent in replying, "Our strength comes from the fact that we stand for something. Our strength comes from the aspirations of millions around the globe who want to be like us, who want their country to be like ours. Our strength comes when we embody the hopes and dreams of mankind." Senator Whitehouse then asked, "Will we trust our ideals, or will we join that gloomy historical line leading from the Inquisition, through the prisons of tyrant regimes, through the gulags and dark cells, and through Saddam Hussein's torture chambers? Will that be the path we choose?" End quote. Will it? Will that be the path we choose? Will we allow this president, who is again making noises like none of this is illegal, he's all hunky-dory, peachy-keen, and just as nice as can be, will we allow that? I don't think anybody could put it more eloquently than Senator Whitehouse. What path will we choose? And I know at times all of us feel powerless. I expressed my sentiments yesterday about that. Been feeling kind of powerless lately. The House, the Senate, the Democratic Congress majority that we elected have not been doing the job. Have been not keeping their promises. They have not been standing up for what we sent them there to do. But what path will they choose? And I guess the question, the better question is, what path will we make them choose? Will we call them? Will we hound them? Will we bug them? Will we phone them? Will we write them? Will we email them until they can't stand it anymore? Until they get the idea that the American public wants to do what's right for a change? Will the Democrats stand together on this? And will they gather enough decent Republicans on the other side of the aisle that will forget the ideology of this whole thing? Forget their blind obedience to this President of the United States and stand for something this decent? It only takes a few. Surely there has to be a few decent ones. Surely there must be a few. So, Harry Reid, it's time to get out and work very hard for this. It's time to make sure we have a man as Attorney General that will follow the laws of the United States. And I don't want to sound like a broken record here today, but it's so important. It is so important. There's not a more important job in this country than to be the Attorney General of the United States. The number one law officer in this country to make sure that all that's good and decent is upheld. That the laws of this country are followed. What's more important than that? Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, Guy. This is Phil in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, I share your feelings on this. And this guy is selected by the Bush crime family, and it is a criminal family. The Bush administration is a criminal enterprise. If you commit crimes, you're criminal. Yes?
Yeah.
Guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
This guy can't even rule out this waterboarding, this torture. And I was listening to a call into one show not long ago, and this was an activist. I can't remember what her cause was, but, you know, she was... Also, talking about how to use our influence on these members of Congress. And you know me, Guy, I'm always up to new ideas and how we could be more effective. And she said that getting in touch with the local office of the Congress representative, and she said the handwritten letter is still, they really pay attention to the handwritten letter. Handwritten meaning, I guess you could type it, you know, but you know what I mean? And that they, if they feel the heat, you know, if the local offices are reporting back saying, hey, the people are restless, you know, that is influence, you see? So she was saying get in touch with the local offices, and the local offices don't have to go through that three-week, you know, anthrax scanning that when you send to Washington to reach your congressperson's office, you know. So I highly recommend people learning the telephone number and address for the local office of their congresspeople and senators, and all you have to do is turn to the blue pages in your telephone book, or you can get on the internet, or you can call 411 information. But find out that particular information, and if you do have a fax machine, you know, use it, you know, get the fax number from them. We have to do, and it does take, what, 5 minutes, Guy, to call a rep?
Yeah, that's all. It depends, you know, whose office you're calling. If you're calling in the Republican office, is why, you know, they hear where I, and it's a target type thing, too. It makes a difference where you're at. You know, in my neighborhood, it wouldn't do me a damn bit of good to call under any circumstances, because they're going
right.
to vote, they're going to vote with Bush, at all costs. Oh no, I bug them.
Don't give up that one letter of opposition, you know, because I remember, what's his name up here in Orlando, Keller, right? Mm-hmm. Republican, you know, and he started getting heat. And imagine that in the Orlando area, you know, but he started getting heat from people in his district about Iraq and not going for this surge thing. I can't recall how he voted, but he changed his tune because he got enough slack in the local offices, you know, and he was challenged in the last election. They still have to win their districts, Guy, you know.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to share that with people. That's, I say, don't stop the emails and the calls to the Washington office, but I think those of us who do take the 5 or 10 minutes to send an email or send a letter or make the phone call to the Washington office, I wonder how much of us, I know I myself wasn't utilizing the local office, and now I'm able to do that more. And from what this woman, I forgot what call-in show she was on and what her cause was, but she said they have found, her group had found that to have a great effect and actually could influence these reps.
Oh, it can. I often call Nelson, for example, here in Florida, our senator. He has, I think, 4 offices. Maybe
yeah.
It's 5, and I call them all. I call every single one of them.
Actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
more
7,
than that.
8 offices.
8 offices.
And I have the phones and fax for each one right here at my ready.
I mean, he votes with the Republicans most of the time anyway, but he's one of those people that doesn't hurt to contact, because he's kind of one of those crossover people that can be swayed. He's kind of standing in the middle. He needs Republican votes and he needs Democratic votes. So he's one of those ones strategically that it's important to talk to. And there are many of those around the country strategically that kind of have to listen to you, you know? I mean, there's some. My local congressional representative, for example, here is a guy by the name of Connie Mack.
Connie Mack,
and their office will actually laugh at you if you call and give any kind of a opinion other than, you know, the Bush line. In fact, I see Mack is getting married here next month. He's marrying Sonny Bono's ex. Her third marriage, his second. You know, he ran on the family values issue here with many pictures of his family, his wife and children and all that. And soon after he got to Congress, he started his affair with the Bono woman. And, of course, the wife and children left behind. And, of course, I could get into a whole long story about that whole thing.
Well, we got a Congress that is full of, it's a criminal enterprise. They're serving a criminal enterprise. And the thing is, Guy, that the people, they serve who influences them most. And we have to, there is power in the people. Americans have for hundreds of years have died and shed their blood to give the people this power, and we have the power if we use it. And if a Republican's office, gets a box load of letters from his district, in his district office, that's going to trouble him more than no letters.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we have to at least do that. I had a conversation with a friend in the local the Volusia Peace Center just before on the phone, and they were talking about what the establishment is giving us for choices, and I was saying, she was saying, well, what are you going to do if Kucinich doesn't get the nomination? You're going to vote for a Republican. I said, it sounds like you're already conceding this. I said, you've let the media and the rulers of the Democratic Party already dictate your vote, because they tell you Kucinich doesn't have a chance. And I said, Kucinich doesn't have a chance if people don't get behind him, and if you say he doesn't have a chance and you're falling for it. I said, nothing changes if nothing changes, guy. We've got to break this pattern of having the power decide who's going to be our leaders.
Say, Phil, I know you've got a good friend in Code Pink, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they must be very gratified today to know that Junior Bush himself singled them out to chastise them. I thought, my.
Did he name them as a terrorist group?
Well, he didn't name them as a terrorist group, but he said what a pity it was that the Congress of the United States, the Democrats, paid more attention to MoveOn.org and Code Pink than they did the president.
Now, what does that tell us, Guy?
Oh, he got his attention.
Exactly. This is my point. And this is a bunch of women that should make the men and the young people and the students ashamed of themselves, because they're actually doing it, Guy.
Yeah, check out his speech today, this morning. Check it on whitehouse.gov, and you'll find that he singled MoveOn.org and Code Pink. And I thought, man, I'll bet the Code Pink people all sitting there going, yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. People power. This illustrates my point to people out there who aren't getting engaged because they say to themselves that, oh, what can I do? Or Hillary's going to win anyway. There's an example of a handful of people. Well, they're not a handful, but they are handfuls, but they're scattered all over in every community. We have one here. Kathy Bracewell heads up Volusia Flagler. And you know what? There's more and more. That Orlando, the UFPJ protest, Code Pink was strong there, and they were on the TV news. They were singing, "Stop the War" or whatever, and they were all on stage with Mike Gravel and all that. But there they are on the news. They're doing it, so we do have the power if we exercise it. And it's a year away. If people don't buy what's fed to us, and and for Bush to mention Code Pink, that means Code Pink is having an effect. It's concerning him.
Yeah, well, check it out on the White House website today. It's on there. You can hear it. I'm going to have to contact Medea Benjamin again. Last time we were going to have Medea on, she ended up in the slammer that afternoon.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
But there's also Code Pink Florida. Where women right here and that have been very active confronting Bill Nelson. I can send you the link to Code Pink Florida, and what's her name? Lydia Vickers from Tallahassee has been a good leader, and the women from Code Pink Orlando, and I encourage people out there who are listening, women, you know, it costs nothing to join Code Pink. Join.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I know a lot of people, you know, Ray McGovern, for example, Ray and Dave Swanson and all them, they fully support Code Pink, and I know Ray's been a big supporter. He's been at many of the same protests and so forth, and so's Dave, and that whole group. It's a group that's worked very hard in Washington, and they're
suiting up and showing up, guy.
They've been dogged about it, too. I know Code Pink's got a house rented there,
And these women take some of their vacation days and they go to the house and they suit up and they show up. They stand in line to get into these hearings, and these are our hearings.
Yep.
Those halls of Congress belong to us, the people.
Well, you wouldn't think so lately, would you?
Every time
they open their mouths, they're out there to try and drag them off to jail.
Which should enrage the people.
Lafayette Park, the last time they dragged people off to jail, the whole thing. Hey, got to run, Phil. Thanks for your call.
Well, that's great news that Code Pink.
Yeah, I was thinking about you and your friends up there when they said that.
Get involved, people. Join Code Pink.
Hey, thanks.
Be part of it.
Yeah, bye now.
Thank you, guy.
Yeah, he did it today. You know, I can't believe Bush did that. I mean, a bit foolish of him politically, strategically. Wouldn't you think that's a bit foolish? I wonder about who advised him on that. Maybe, of course, I sometimes wonder if anybody's advising George Bush these days. He's acts like such a simpleton with some of the things he said. I'm gonna have to find that little deal I got here about some of the somebody I forget what website it is. Every single day goes over the speeches. Did the guy take English in school? Did he take grammar? Did his mother and father, for God's sake, high profile people here in this country? I mean, his brother speaks well, Jeb. Jeb speaks like a normal human being. He speaks like an educated man. And here's Junior Bush, supposedly educated. he speaks like a doofus, I guess. I guess that's what we'd call it, a doofus. That's my edumacation coming across there. But boy, I'll tell you, he's something else. Got kind of a light chat room going today. People are rather quiet in there today. I don't know why. Good audience on the internet. Give us a call. We're going to stop for news here coming up in just a couple minutes, but right after the news, 866-546-5254. And on your nickel, you can call it 941-876-6896. I get so much email from a lot of the local people here, and not many of you call anymore. I wonder why that is. So if you're local, give us a call. John and Dave and Wilma and some of you folks here that email regularly that live here in the Southwest Florida area, it's a local call. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We got about, a minute and a half coming up until news at the top of the hour. A lot to talk about in the second hour, and we do hope you'll join us for that. Want to talk a little bit about the furor going on at the State Department. God, how would you like to be working at the State Department? Got a wife and kids in Washington or wherever you're stationed, and hey, guess what? You're going to Baghdad. Yeah, well, wait a minute. I don't want to go to Baghdad. I didn't volunteer to go to Baghdad. Well, you're going. And that's what they're telling them now. And we've got some recordings of a little secret meeting they had yesterday that they didn't know was being recorded. And just a few people unhappy with being sent to the green zone where it's just perfectly safe, you know. Oh, yes. We're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. And we'll be back right after that. We might learn a few things, see where the stock market is right now and all that. The news is always a few minutes behind on that, but stay tuned. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, Billy Shears Music Director. And do catch that Billy Shears show on Saturday night. Man, it's a beaut. Talk to you right after the news.
This is the Quality News Network. The six U.S. allies from the Persian Gulf region have offered to break the standoff between the West and Iran by offering to discreetly provide uranium for Iran on a per-need basis. There's been no response from Washington, and reports are Tehran is considering the plan. Tomorrow's meeting of the Security Council will finally have China and Russia on board. The two nations in previous meetings have held out against sanctions for Iran in favor of diplomacy, but now say they will sign on if Iran does not halt nuclear activity within 2 weeks. Condoleezza Rice will be in the Middle East this weekend to urge Israeli and Palestinian leaders to agree to some compromises. Rice hopes to persuade both sides to meet some of the commitments of the 2003 Roadmap Peace Plan and move the peace process towards the creation of a Palestinian state. One of six men charged with plotting to kill soldiers at New Jersey's Fort Dix has pleaded guilty. The 25-year-old supermarket worker admitted he and another defendant provided firearms to the Fort Dix Six. He faces 5 years in prison. U.S. Army Lieutenant General Ray Odierno says coalition forces have gained some momentum and there are signs normalcy is returning to the war-torn nation. The second highest-ranking commander also said Iraqi security forces are improving and more of the population is rejecting al-Qaeda. The French charity workers who attempted to take over 100 children from Darfur to France for placement with French families now face kidnapping charges. A report by two UN agencies say the 21 girls and 82 boys which were taken from a home have close family, and locals say they are from Chad and not Darfur. Japan's agreement to assist NATO forces in the Afghanistan war expired without renewal today because lawmakers in Tokyo are split. For the last 6 years, Japan has supplied millions of dollars worth of fuel and water to ships in the Indian Ocean. The U.S. Marshals Service announced its four-month Operation Falcon Sweep of fugitives resulted in the arrest of 6,400 lawbreakers in 22 states. Apprehended were gang members, sex offenders, and others accused of violent crimes. In Washington, the head of the FDA testifies before a congressional hearing today. Lawmakers are calling for more inspections of pharmaceuticals produced in China and elsewhere overseas destined for American pharmacies. The Enola Gay, the B-29 bomber that dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, was piloted by Paul Tibbetts. He died today in Columbus, Ohio. He was 92 years old. Before his death, Mr. Tibbetts said he slept well every night. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Have you ever found yourself swatting at a fly no one else sees? Chances are you're seeing what we commonly call a floater. Many people have them and have had them for a while. Floaters are condensed proteins located in the gel-like part of our eyes called the vitreous. As we age, this gel becomes more liquefied, and so whatever debris was once trapped inside is now freer to float around. They are typically harmless, but you should check with your eye doctor if you notice new floaters, especially if they appear after a flash of light, or if you should notice a curtaining effect of your side vision. Otherwise, that squiggly critter you see, especially when you look at a blue sky or a white background, is probably with you for life and should simply be ignored. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on Eye Care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
Tropical Storm Noel continues its northward trek through the Caribbean with max sustained winds at 60 miles per hour. Expected to pass west of Nassau, Bahamas, the killer storm is responsible for 64 deaths in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. With four wildfires still burning in Southern California, firefighters have been placed on a new high fire risk alert. Hot, dry weather and a resurgence of Santa Ana winds are forecast. The DNA of a cat will be added to the list of six mapped species. The Missouri scientists who accomplished the mapping say it's a valuable breakthrough because of the commonality of cats and humans in relation to disease. Chrysler LLC said today it will cut 12,000 jobs or 15% of its workforce. It's an effort to cut costs and counter decreased demand for some of its vehicles. According to a mortgage data company, home foreclosures are up 100%. Realty Track, Inc. reported the number of homes involved in some stage of foreclosures doubled as compared to this time last year. The Irvine-based company said there was one foreclosure filing for every 196 homes in the U.S. NCR maker of automated teller machines saw their shares jump 9% despite posting a 63% quarterly loss in earnings. Wall Street had expected a quarterly drop following the company's spinoff of its Teradata unit. Light sweet crude is trading at $93.90 a barrel, and the Dow is down big right now, 267 points. The Nasdaq is down 45. This is the Quality News Network.
Sweet.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, welcome back to the second hour of the Guy James Show today. Happy to have all of you along with us. Hope you'll join us here in the program today, 866-546-5254. Value your opinions and your contribution to the program. We've been talking about the Mukasey nomination today. Do you think it'll pass? Do you think it'll come to the floor? If it does come to the floor, do you think it'll pass? I believe if it makes it to the floor, it will pass. There are enough gutless Democrats to swing over to the other side and go along with him, I'm sure. We shall see. But if they did the decent thing, they would withdraw the nomination. If the guy was a decent guy, knowing what the administration is up to here, he would withdraw the nomination. But I guess that that big leather chair in the Attorney General's office is just too good to give up, huh? So they'll go for it. On a lighter note, those of you that are football fans, and I am, I'm not a pro football fan at all, but I don't watch pro football. Haven't for, a long time now. Was a lifelong Cleveland Browns fan, and when the Cleveland Browns left Cleveland, I swore I'd never watch another moment of pro football, and I have not. So I have done just fine without it. But I do love high school and college football, especially college football. But I ran across this story today, and I thought, wow, talk about a wild game. A football team, the title of it, a football team goes on record-setting scoring spree, said the New England Patriots could learn a thing or two about running up the score from Smith Center High School's football team in Smith Center, Kansas. The team scored 72 points in the first quarter of a game against Plainville High School en route to winning 86-0. Well, they must have really shut it off. 72 points in the first quarter and only 14 more the rest of the game. One local newspaper reports Smith Center set a high school record for points in a quarter, topping the 66 registered by an Arizona school in 1925. Winning is nothing new for Smith Center. They're undefeated and have outscored their opponents this season. This is pretty fantastic. They've outscored their opponents this season 640-0. That's right. No one has scored on them yet. In a contest, one of their close games this year, there was 69-0. So, my God. Maybe Plainville should think about getting Smith Center off their schedule. They scored more than the quarterback scored with the cheerleaders. You know what I mean? Wow. 86-0. And on a lighter note, although it isn't so light for this guy, I'm sure by now some of you have heard about this flap with this Dog, or Dwayne Dog Chapman. He does this show called Dog the Bounty Hunter on, what network is it? One of the cable networks. Can't think of it right now. But anyway, he's, all I know is on Channel 43 here, but I've seen it, once, maybe parts of it a couple of times. Yeah, A&E. He's on the A&E cable network, and it's one of their top shows, believe it or not. But Dwayne Dog Chapman's bark might be worse than his bite. The A&E cable network has suspended production of his reality series, Dog the Bounty Hunter, in light of a National Enquirer report claiming that Chapman used racial insults, including the N-word, during two phone conversations. The Enquirer obtained audio recordings in which Chapman rants to his son, Tucker, about Tucker's black girlfriend, Monique Shinnery, insisting that he not work for the family business as long as he's dating her. Ironically, Chapman says during the conversation that he's concerned Shinnery will hear him and others use the N-word and tell the Enquirer. A&E says it will take appropriate action after an investigation into the matter is complete. And Chapman released a statement yesterday that read in part, and gosh, doesn't this sound just so familiar? My sincerest heartfelt apologies go out to every person I have offended for my regrettable use of very inappropriate language. I'm deeply disappointed in myself for speaking out of anger to my son and using such a hateful term in a private phone conversation. It was completely taken out of context, and I was disappointed in his choice of a friend, not due to her race, but her character. And according to TMZ.com, Chapman has already tried to contact the Reverend Al Sharpton. Oh, my. One of the more vocal critics of Don Imus when the radio host made a racially insensitive comment on the air earlier this year. Chapman's pastor, who is African American, told TMZ the reality TV star broke down in tears over the report, saying, quote, I'm shocked. I'm wrong. I repent. Can you believe that I'm going to be put in the same category as Imus? The pastor does not believe Chapman is a racist. Well, I debated. I have a bleeped version of this phone call, and I have the uncensored version of this phone call. And if you got any kids in the room, get them out, because I'm going to play the uncensored version of this thing, and you make up your mind as to whether or not he ought to be put in the same category as Imus or not, or whether Imus is Mother Teresa compared to this guy, okay? I'm going to play the uncensored version, and to those of you that are a bit sensitive about vulgar language, maybe you'll want to walk out of the room. But here it is.
Because she's black. It's because we use the word nigger sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some fucking nigger heard us say nigger and turned us into the Inquirer magazine. Our career is over. I'm not taking that chance at all. Never in life. Never. Never. If Lisa was dating a nigger, we would all say fuck you. And you know that. If Lisa brought a black guy home, yeah, it's not that they're black. It's none of that. It's that we use the word nigger. We don't mean you fucking scum nigger without a soul. We don't mean that shit. But America would think we mean that. And we're not taking a chance on losing everything we got over a racial slur. Because our son goes with the girl like that. I can't do that, Tucker. You can't expect Gary, Bonnie, Cecily, all them young kids, because I'm in love for 7 months. I fucked that. So I'll help you get another job, but you cannot work here unless you break up with her. And she's out of your life. I can't handle that shit. I got him in the parking lot trying to record us. I got that girl saying she's not going to wear a record. I don't even know.
And again, to those of you easily offended, I apologize for that, but not really. Let me say again what Dog the Bounty Hunter said to his pastor. I'm shocked. I'm wrong. I repent. Can you believe that I'm going to be put in the same category as Imus? I don't think he's in the same category as Imus. I think he created a whole new category. Chapman's not a racist. He just hates black people and calls them names. That's all. for Halloween, Chapman, he must have got dressed up as Michael Richards last night, you know? You don't have to worry about trying to contact Al Sharpton. He's going to be on your front lawn with 10,000 protesters when you get up in a couple of days, Chapman. The Dog, I'm not a racist. I'm not in the same. They're going to put me in the same category as Don Imus. Oh, Don, you're a saint. I never thought I'd say that, but again, I apologize if I've offended your sensibilities, but you know I'm wont to do that now and then. Yes, I am. 866-5-5-5. All day long, I've got two versions of that here on the computer today, and I thought, which one of them? I'm going to play the bleep version. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play the bleep version. That's what I should do. And all of a sudden, I just made a decision. Nah. Let's go for it. Let's the Dog. I'll tell you. There's. We got to do something funny on the show now and then. We talk about so many serious things, and not that being a racist isn't serious, but we talk about serious things day in and day out on this program, and so once in a while we just have to lighten it up just a little bit, and I couldn't help it. I just couldn't help it. 866-546-5254. Love to hear from you here on the Guy James Show today, and we're going to be back in just a moment.
Back at it here on the Guy James Show, 22 and a half minutes after the hour. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you along with us here. You can join us, 866-546-5254. We'll make it real easy for you if you'd like to call today. I'd like to say hello to William in London, England. Thank you for your email, William. And thank you for listening to the program. Always good to hear from our folks across the proverbial pond here. I was just reading a few moments ago during the break on CNNMoney.com. The Dow Jones goes down 362 points today, and that's after the Fed dumped in, what was it, $41 billion into it today? The Dow Industrial suffered one of its biggest declines of the year Thursday, plummeting more than 360 points after a Citigroup downgrade served as a blunt reminder to Wall Street that the credit market crisis is not over. You know, that's been a fascinating thing to me, that Wall Street and the money programs on TV have generally thrown this whole credit crunch and this housing market thing to the wind. They haven't given it its just dues here in the conversation. They're acting like, oh, well, hell, it doesn't matter. It's a little blip on the screen. 360 points today. 362, it drops. Oil reached a new high today of 96.24, but it closed out at 93.07, which is 42 cents less than yesterday. What a relief. It's down to only 93.07. You know, folks, and gold, by the way, closed at $793 an ounce. That is a bad, bad sign that gold is reaching record prices. But the oil, 96.24 and closed at 93.07. It's not going to be very long. You know, the refineries have switched over to producing heating oil now. God help you if you haven't filled your heating oil tank if you live up north, because you're going to pay wild prices this year. And gasoline, you know, when they made the changeover this year, they had a little bit of a surplus of gasoline, and that surplus is running down. Folks, the price of gasoline is going to go crazy here very, very shortly. Very, very shortly. You're going to see prices up to $3.40, $3.50 a gallon in short order. It's going to skyrocket. Can you imagine pulling your economy car up to the pump and cost you $50 to fill it up? I mean, that's going to be the case. What do you do if you got one of these big caddies or something and holds, what, 22 gallons or so? Whew, boy. I remember the days when you used to, you hate it, don't you, when I say that? I remember the days I'd pull in and say, give me a dollar's worth. That'd buy you about 4 gallons of gas. Not quite four. Almost, though. And, you know, you could drive for 100 miles, but not anymore. But 93.07 a barrel, look for that gas price to go wild very, very shortly. Citigroup stock fell 6.9% in the afternoon trade. That's the lowest level in 4.5 years. Citigroup's going to have to cut its dividend in order to raise $30 billion in capital. Now, when you start talking about cutting dividends, that's when the folks in the market start getting a bit antsy, because Citigroup is one of those companies people buy the stock for the dividends. Dividends is very important on a stock like Citigroup. I'm no econ major, but I do know that when a stock like that drops 6.9% in a day, that's a serious, serious matter. And I think we're a long, long way. I've been reading a lot about economic matters lately, and most especially the home loan situation. And we recently went through last month, really, where a lot of the ARMs were adjusted upward, time to adjust them. A great percentage of them went up last month. And there was a big increase in foreclosures this past month, but we're not going to see the full effect of the foreclosures for 4 or 5 months until people start getting way behind. You know, their house payment went up $100, $200, $300 a month because of the adjustable rate mortgages that a lot of people got trapped into and talked into.
And the first month, they're going to look at it and go, oh, my God, second month. But gradually, they're going to fall behind. And 4 or 5 months down the road, looking at about March or so, you're going to look at the foreclosure rate and mark it down that we said this, but you're going to see the foreclosure rate go crazy, as though it isn't bad enough already, and it certainly is. You're going to see a market increase coming up, I'd say right around March or so. So it's serious times we're in here, folks, economically, and I hope... See, they put up on the chat room here, it's already $3.43 for regular gas in Eureka, California. Well, you poor Californians, you always pay top buck for gasoline. It's going to, I suppose it'll hit $4 there then. Wow. But just imagine, think of the ramifications of this. You're 70 years old, you've retired, you may be disabled. You're living on a very meager stationary income. You've got no discretionary spending left at the end of the month at all. You can barely afford your grocery bill and your gas bill, and you don't drive your car very much. You get by on the bare essentials. You are cutting your pharmaceutical pills in half because you can't afford the full price. You know, all that kind of thing. You're going to the grocery store and debating on whether or not you're eating meat or beans, whether to buy the generic or the good brand. I buy the generic anyway. I'm very conservative at the grocery store. But, you know, think about that. Think about that, and your home heating bill comes, and you know you live in Connecticut or Ohio or Pennsylvania or any place up north where it's cold, Minnesota, God, Duluth, Bismarck, North Dakota, Minot, North Dakota, and you get your heating oil bill, and it's double what it was last year, an extra $100 a month, an extra $200 a month. What do you do? What do you do when you just don't have it? You've already got the thermostat turned down to 63 or whatever in the wintertime. And, you know, your health isn't good, and you should be having a nice warm home, and you can't afford it. What do you do? Turn it down some more? You turn it down to 50 while these miserable sons of bitches that own these oil companies have money pouring in obscene amounts? Is that what you do? That is what you do. While some SOB sitting in Houston, Texas, reaping the rewards from ExxonMobil, he's not turning his thermostat down or up. He's living just well, very well, thank you. You know, it's an obscenity when you think about what is going on in this country, the transfer of wealth. And when I say wealth, my God, people on a stationary income. And some SOB sitting in Houston, Texas, or wherever. Big time, big shot guy at Exxon Oil reaping in tens of millions of dollars a year. While the poor guy in Duluth, Minnesota is freezing to death and can't afford his medicine. What's wrong with this country when things are going like we had the big time executive, Smith Barney, which one was it? The other day, they fired his ass. Fired him. For losing money. And he walks out with $160 million parachute out of the country. $160 million. His reward for failure. What is wrong with this? What is wrong with all of us that we put up with this? Why do we have to put up with this? How can it be? And don't get me wrong here. I don't look to the federal government as my God and my protector. I do not. But when it comes to protection from a company like ExxonMobil, it's almost like the protection we're guaranteed from a foreign military. I mean, my God, what's the difference? They come in and shoot you or starve you to death by taking all your money to pay for your heating oil. What's the difference? You've seen all the stories about the fat cats taking home the monstrous money, the guy at Blackwater, the money he's made. Like all of you, I find it so very troubling to see the disparity in incomes that are taking place. And oh yes, some of these captains of industry, yeah, they deserve big money. They've made tens of millions of dollars, billions of dollars for their companies. They deserve a big paycheck. But not 500, 1,000, 10,000, whatever it is, times the guy that works for them. No. No. I don't care what you say. I don't care what political party you belong to. I don't care what your ideology. I don't care where you belong on the economic. Nobody deserves that kind of money. Nobody. I am a capitalist. I believe in a free society. I believe in capitalism, but my God, aren't there limits? Again, I mentioned the fact that the guy that got fired yesterday basically got fired, and he takes home $160 million because he failed. And that happens every day in this country. And everybody in Washington going, oh, well. Oh, well. I realize that oil is a commodity. I also realize that the cost of bringing it out of the ground, the last I heard, is around $3 a barrel, and now it's selling for 94? And the likes of ExxonMobil making obscene profits on the backs of the working man in this country? You know, you pull your Escalade, your big monster Escalade, that new model, that big long tank one, you know what, I don't know the name of it, but you pull it in there and put 80, 90 bucks worth of gas in it on a 60 or 70 thousand, who gives a damn? So what? But you got your guy driving your Ford Escort to work. 15 years old, got four bald tires, a stick shift, tranny's gone bad, transmission's gone bad, the seats are worn out. You pull in and you got to drive, you know, put in $30, $40 worth of gasoline just to go to work each week in an economy car. That's getting a little crazy. Just getting a little crazy. I don't know. Like I said, I am a capitalist, but there comes a point when it becomes gouging, and gouging is what's happening right now with the oil. Have you noticed the food prices in your grocery stores lately? They've been skyrocketing. They certainly have here where I live. Been going way up. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, Dave and Eureka.
Hi, Dave.
Also, and election fraud in your room. But one of the things that I don't hear being mentioned very often, but it computes in my head, and that is this whole occupation in Iraq and Afghanistan. I think these oil companies are getting their crude oil basically for free. I just can't picture them finding a way in their hearts to pay money for it to the Iraqi people.
Oh, so, Dave, I think you're right. I think it's well known that there are billions of dollars worth of oil in Iraq, totally unaccounted for. I don't know who got it, but totally unaccounted for since this conflict began.
Well, and that's what little they allow of the books to be audited, because I would say that there's some cost involved in actually processing it from crude oil to the fuels, but it's almost 100% profit, and the price going up and up and up. They may say that the cost per barrel is 90-some dollars, but not if they own the country, not if they've divided up the oil fields among themselves. It's all profit.
Oh, I read an in-depth story recently that the cost to get it out of the ground and ship it is around $3 a barrel. So to name me something else where you can make money like that. I mean, that's free money. It's just free money.
Outrageous, out of control greed. This whole neocon operation is just grab everything. Don't care how much you hurt, how many you hurt. Anyway, always a great show. And I much appreciate the vigor and feeling of your guy there, Phil. He puts a lot of effort into trying to do what he can.
A fellow Floridian.
Yeah, I know. And I know you try, and you do a lot, too. But, I mean, if there's something we can do, there's a few of us that are going to try to do what we can. But he strikes me as somebody that does more than his fair share.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, Dave, thanks for your call. Good to hear
from
you.
Thank you for being there, guy.
Thank you. Yeah, stop and think about it. Ray brings it up on the chat room. Credit card companies gouging people with interest. Just heard from a friend of mine a week or so ago. Had two or three credit cards. Was late. I'm trying to think what bill he was late on. He was late on one of his bills. And somehow, I mean, not somehow, I guess I know how the credit card companies find it and jack up his interest rate on his credit cards. Had nothing to do with them. Do you need to get 20% interest on a credit card? Do you need to get 29% interest on a credit card? Do you have that many defaults that you got to cover yourself with interest that high? I don't think so. We've got record profits going on. We've got, we talk about from time to time about these payday loan companies that have proliferated around the country, especially around our military bases, for God's sake, preying on our military. Shouldn't even be allowed. But what's the difference between them and the loan sharks from the mafia? What is the difference? I don't know that the mafia charged any higher interest rates than some of these payday loan peoples and some of these credit card companies now. Again, I keep using the word obscene. But it is. I sometimes wonder if I know this country anymore, if I recognize this country anymore, if I know the people of this country anymore, if we just all kind of laying back and going, Oh, well, lead me to the slaughter. I don't know. There are things about this country that are unrecognizable from when I was a bit younger. And it makes me sad. It truly does. I think anybody, most anybody, the great masses ought to realize that we are heading down a road right now that is very dangerous, very, very slippery. I don't know. I don't like it. Let's pause for a break. We'll be back.
Songs to fill the air. no pebble tossed, no wind to blow. Reach out your hand. If your cup be empty, if your cup is full, may it be again. Let it be known there is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. There is a road, no simple highway, between the dawn and the dark of night. And if you go, no one may follow. That path is for your steps alone. When there is no pebble tossed, no wind to blow, you can choose to lead, must follow. But if you fall alone. If you should stand, then who's to guide you? If I knew the way, I would take you home. La, da, da, da. La, da.
I saw a blinding flash of light, so I pulled over to the first church on the right.
And I feel so good,
feel so good
about
it.
I saw a bum on the curb today.
Hey!
Well, I hit the gas and covered him with gutter spray, and I feel so good.
Feel so good about it.
Down.
Ain't no doubt about it.
Wanna laugh and shout aloud, because I once was a liberal, but I ain't no liberal no more.
My heart is jumping and my head is swimming. I feel like I could take the boat away from women.
And I feel so good.
Feel so good
ain't
about
no
it.
Doubt.
Ain't no doubt
wanna
about it.
Laugh
and shout aloud.
Because I once was a liberal, but I
ain't no liberal no more. On that joyful day, yes, on that glorious day, the day I threw my Birkenstocks away, the angel told me, oh, ye man of sin,
open up your bleeding heart and let Pat Buchanan in.
I want to be there when we take the streets, so I cut out two little eye holes in my sheets. I feel so good.
Feel so good
ain't
about
no
it.
Doubt.
Ain't no doubt
wanna
about
laugh.
It. Wanna laugh and shout about it.
Because I once was a liberal, but I
ain't no liberal no more.
I used to be so paranoid, but now I'm what?
Now I feel so good.
Feel so good about it.
Down.
Ain't no doubt about
wanna
it.
Laugh
and shout
about
it.
Because I once was a liberal, but I
ain't no liberal.
And I once was a peacenik, but I bought stock in Lockheed.
And I once was a union man,
but I got me this nice office.
And I once was a feminist,
but I just don't understand women.
And I once supported rent control.
Then I inherited some property.
And I once was anti-censorship,
but I don't have time for fiction.
And I once hated racism,
but I figure why fight it?
And I once had compassion, but I ain't no liberal.
Ah,
not a liberal anymore. I like that song. Tongue firmly in cheek. That's a good one. Hey, welcome to the Guy James Show. We're down to the last 12 minutes or so. Let's head on over to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Jeez, this is a real Guy James Show down in Florida?
That would be me.
Hi, Guy. This is Eric from Vermont.
And this would be Eric from Vermont.
Yes. Yes.
How you
doing,
Eric?
The only, and we are all stars.
Yeah.
We are all important in the hearts of God.
That's right. How you doing today?
Well, I'm not worried about me right now. I think we have a greater problem here. Did you read this one thing that President Bush did? President Bush compared Congress Democratic leaders Thursday with people who ignored the rise of Lenin and Hitler early in the last century, saying the world paid a terrible price then and risks similar consequences for inaction today. Have you gone online with that?
He's making it a little more difficult to listen to him every single day. In fact, I can hardly bear it. I try so that I can keep up on, you know, what he's up to, but it's becoming a chore to listen and to read and watch anything the guy does. He sickens me. He really does. And what you're talking about, that I mean, this is the president of the United States, for heaven's sake. You know, he get up and he chastises the Democrats the other day for not doing anything. I guess he forgot about the Republican Congress that he's presided over for a long time now. I'm so upset with him, I don't know what to do. I really am.
But how do you feel about the Democrats? I mean, are they going to sit there with this Attorney General nomination for Mr. Michael McCaskey or Casey or whatever?
I think they are.
Is Schumer going to shove it in because he pushed it up the stone?
Well,
this guy doesn't know what waterboarding is. I mean, is he going to be Attorney General?
Yeah, I actually think Schumer, you know, we shall see. We're going to find out in the next day or so what kind of guts Chuck Schumer's got. Because, you know, a lot of people have turned against McCaskey, probably not enough. But it would behoove Chuck Schumer to come out now and say, hey, I didn't know this guy was going to – I know I pushed him for a nomination, but I didn't know he was going to give these kind of weird answers that he has and everything, and I'm backing off. But will he do that? I don't know. I don't know. I sure would be heartened to see Chuck Schumer say that. It would take some guts as a politician for him to say that, but it would be the right thing to do.
Well, I don't know if it takes any guts, because I can remember back, well, actually I can't, but I know that there was a time in my early history after I left my mother's womb that I probably really liked a pacifier, and I was really cranked on to having a pacifier sometime. Now I'm 57, I don't think that's one of the things I really want. So if I would really want a pacifier, that could have been like a change. We have new evidence, we have new testimony indicating this guy is stonewalling us because he doesn't want to admit that the waterboarding might be torture. And this guy is going to be the chief law enforcement person in this country, the same as Alberto Gonzalez.
And then the
president gets on the line today, and he starts talking about, well, geez, I mean, that's classified information. You can't explain. What are we dealing with here? I mean, the Democrats definitely have to stand the wall on this one.
Well, I think Bush is protecting himself. I think he sees the writing on the wall that maybe, if the Democrats ever got some guts, that down the road, maybe they'd be able to prosecute a few people for illegal behavior with this waterboarding and some other things that they've done. And I think they're trying to hedge their bets right there. I honestly do. I hate to think that of our government, but I think it's abundantly clear that that's what they're doing. It's a CYA thing that's going on.
I agree with you. I think it is a big, very big CYA, because some of these guys could be winding up in some very serious, very bad places themselves if they don't CYA. And I can't understand why there aren't more people in Congress, Republicans and Democrats, that actually still believe in the Constitution than aren't going to call them on it. They should put their patriotism... I mean, real patriotism. I don't mean pulling out the flag and little lapel pins. They should put the real patriotism right on top of the game, and they should sit there and say, no, this is not what our country is, and this is wrong. And I can't understand, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, why they're sitting there and covering these people's butts.
Oh, you know, you think back through history. When we have found people doing things wrong in the military, or we've done something about it. We haven't sanctioned it. I mean, you look back at Vietnam, the My Lai massacre. Well, they prosecuted these people. They did something about it. Now, anything like that happens, even, you know, not only if we got rogue members of the military doing things like that, we've got the administration sanctioning it, and it's troubling. It really is.
Well, I started reading the Valerie Plame book today.
Did you?
In between things I had to do at work, because I was sitting there. And, boy, it's hard to figure out what she's talking about, because I went through the first 50 pages today at work, in between breaks, of course, right? And they got so much of a redacted in the damn book, you can't figure out actually in the context that she's talking about 90% of the time. As it gets progressive into the book, there's less redaction as she gets into modern, non-CIA, whatever it is. But it's just, it's amazing, because my understanding, and maybe I really don't know, but, you know, the assertion is that a lot of this has been information which has been in the public domain. And that was one of the big reasons that I believe the lawsuit, the civil suit against the CIA, I believe, was intact to go after. Why did they redact all this information? Anyway, we're getting close to your closing time. I just thought I'd put that in. But it's really hard reading a lot of that stuff at the beginning of the book, because it's so blocked out.
Well, I'll be starting that here pretty soon. I have my copy in the next day or so, I have that to look forward to.
Well, anyway, guys, it's been nice talking with you. A lot of times I'm not really... for getting out of work real quick. You know?
Glad you could make it today. Good to hear from you, Eric.
Well, it's always good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bush brought it up, so let's go back to 1938.
I'm sorry.
Charlie Chaplin.
I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business.
Adolf Hitler.
I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's...
Let me mention, this is an exact translation of a speech by Adolf Hitler.
...each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people, and so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men. Machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, Don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power. The power to create machines. The power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. To make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. A decent world. That will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason. A world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
Well, another man in another time talking about democracy. Saying one thing and doing another.